Hi, Marty Lurie here on KMBR 680 as we get ready for Giants baseball. Joined by a very interesting man. It's Carl Stewart of the Bay Area Newspaper Group. And Carl, of course, does so many nice columns and has covered baseball so many years. And it's caught my attention on the blogs when he fills in for Alex Pavlovich. But Carl, nice to have you on the show today. And baseball for you, there's a long history, there's a long love of baseball for you. First of all, let's go back to where you grew up and how you got involved with baseball as a kid.
Well, I grew up in Chico, California, which was big Giants country when I was a youth, and I listened to faithfully to the Giants games, Lon and Russ, throughout the 60s, frustrated year after year. Either the Dodgers or the Cardinals would beat the Giants out, and then they finally did it in 1971. But that's where I kind of got my start. Loving baseball, was listening to the Giants games. I very rarely saw them on TV, but I listened to every radio game faithfully.
Wow. Carl Stewart with us from the Bay Area Newspaper Group. I used to call him the Oakland Tribune when I wrote columns there. But, boy, a Giant fan in those days, frustrating, as you say. Someone always had a better team that year. They needed an extra pitcher. But as a kid, who did you like to follow? Was it the typical guys, or did you pick somebody out?
I loved Juan Marichal. I mean, it was just his style of pitching. He was just so effective every game. When he didn't win, it was a surprise. And he went nine innings virtually every game. It was a big deal in 1971 when he pitched the last game of the season, shut out the Padres. I still never forget that. I'll never forget Dick Dietz going on the radio and said, the Dodgers can go to hell. I was a diehard Giants fan growing up. Now, as a sports writer, I have to be a lot more objective about it, but those teams with Mays and McCovey and Marichal and Jim Ray Hart and Gaylord Perry, I mean, I could recite any number about those Giants. And it's great to come out to the ballpark and see Willie McCovey every day and occasionally see Mays and Marichal here. I mean, I get to be around those guys, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, Cepeda too. And so I guess Frank Lindsay wasn't one of your favorites.
Frank Lindsay, Bob Bolin, Bob Burda, Ron Herbel. All those names come back after a while. Mike McCormick had a great year in 1967 for them and won the Cy Young. So, I remember all those teams.
Wow, good baseball roots for Carl Stewart. All right, as I've said, I've enjoyed reading everything you've done about baseball and certainly filling in for Alex from time to time. But you go to college, and baseball still follows you there.
Yeah, I went to the University of Oregon, and by that time I had pretty well decided that I really wanted to become a sports writer. So I was fortunate while I was going to college to work at the Eugene Register Guard. And during the summer, they allowed me to cover the Eugene Emeralds of the Northwest League, Class A. They had a pretty good pitcher on that team at the time by the name of Mario Soto, who pitched very well, obviously for the Cincinnati Reds, had one of the great changeups in the history of the game, I think. And so I got to see that year, and I also got to see Jim Boughton, who was the was named the manager of the Portland Mavericks. They were an independent team in Portland. Got to be around him and talk to him and interview him because I was a huge fan of Ball 4, the book Ball 4, which had only come out, a few years before that. So, and he was just kind of as much of a character as you would expect having read that book.
Boy, Jim Boughton, the knuckleball. I saw him throw a knuckleball at Candlestick Park and actually won a game for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, he beat the Giants. I remember that game, 1978, when the Giants were right in the hunt there. And that game just seemed like took all the air out of that team. I mean, it was... after that game, they didn't do much of anything the rest of the year.
No, that was a Wednesday afternoon. I can see it now. All right, Carl is with us. But, Carl, moving on, and again, I'm thrilled to hear this background for you because I didn't know any of this stuff, but you became a beat writer, and you got your job, and you covered the Giants during some very interesting years, some interesting managers.
Right. I started in 1982. That was my first year. I had covered the Warriors for 4 years, but I really wanted to cover baseball. The Giants beat opened up, and I jumped on that because it was my childhood team. That was a team that probably got me into sports writing, I would think, just because it got me into sports. I followed the games every day. I knew a lot about the game, even when I first started. And those were interesting teams. I started out having to cover Frank Robinson as the manager, and that was a challenge. He was an intimidating man as a manager, and but once you got to know him, you could develop a pretty good relationship with him.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've heard the story, Marty, about the legendary near brawl with between Frank and Monty Stickles. I started that fight.
Really?
By asking a question of Frank that he didn't like, and Monty came to my defense, and that's where it escalated. That part of the tape, the famous, infamous tape, is not on there, but I started that fight. I tell people that story all the time. And then after Frank left, went through the 100-loss season with Jim Davenport's team. Actually, a very talented lineup. I mean, you look at that lineup. How did this team ever lose 100 games? But they just had no pitching and no defense. The next year, or at the end of that year, Danny Ozark took over temporarily, and then they brought in Al Rosen and Roger Craig, and that started the whole Humbaby era. That was pretty amazing how they turned that around. I mean, first day Al Rosen walked in, he unplugged all the televisions in the clubhouse, had all that stuff taken out, all the music, everything taken out, and he says, we're going to focus on baseball starting today. And I have to say, it was an effective tool. I mean, and then they turned around the next year and drafted Will Clark and Robbie Thompson and started building that thing seriously.
Well, what a great story. A pleasure having Carl Stewart on to hear a true baseball story, writing now for the Bay Area Newspaper Group and covering spring training, A's and Giants. It was nice to see him down in Arizona as well. You look at the part of Candlestick Park, and this is the year they're going to blow it up, and everyone's a little nostalgic about Candlestick. How do you feel about it?
Bruce Jenkins and I were actually talking about that. I said, I told Bruce, I don't understand the nostalgia over wanting to play another baseball game at Candlestick, and he totally agrees with me. We saw enough games there in the cold, windy nights and just brutal conditions. We were talking about how that park, as bad as it was, for 8 years they had AstroTurf there. It was just hard as a rock. It had seams. Rather amazing that Bobby Bonds probably had his best years during that stretch of time. But I don't miss it. I don't miss it at all. I mean, all the stray cats running around in the outfield and no fans and just blustery conditions. The funniest thing about Candlestick is that whenever I'd finish a game at night, you'd walk out at 11:30 at night and it would be perfectly still, just really nice conditions. And I said, well, if they played all the games at 11:30 at night, this would be a pretty cool place. But during 5 o'clock, between 5 and 7 o'clock, it was gale force winds usually.
Well, you'd have the Alaska Gold Panthers if you're playing at 11 o'clock at night or midnight from that great league up in Alaska. Carl, you've been around spring training this year. You've seen the A's and Giants. Just as a Bay Area expert, I'll call you right now. How do you see Bay Area baseball for this upcoming season?
I think the Giants have a good team, but they have a very tough challenge in their division, obviously, with the Dodgers being the favorites, a lot of people's favorites to win the World Series. I think from top to bottom, it's the strongest division in baseball. When you look at a team like Colorado, a team that a lot of people are picking for last place, I mean, they could be right around a 500 team, I think, just with Gonzalez and Tulowitzki, and you know, they added Brett Anderson to their starting staff, which wasn't that bad. They've got decent relievers, so I like the Giants. I like the addition of Michael Morse. They need a little bit more power in their lineup, and if he's healthy, I think he'll provide it. He had a little rough game last night in the outfield, but you know, I think he'll get used to playing out there. I mean, it's we were figuring, actually, Bill Arnold was telling me last night, it's 9 years, 9-year career, he's only made 3 errors in the outfield. Now, that doesn't always, isn't the strongest indicator of his defensive capability, but, you know, we watched Pat Burrell out there for 3 or 4 years, and I think he could be at least as good as Burrell. So, and their starting staff, I love Tim Hudson. I mean, I love the addition of Tim Hudson. I saw him as a youngster, covered his first game with the A's. He's just one of the most competitive guys I've ever covered, and I love covering. He's got a great personality. I think he's going to fit in with this team. And if they're in the race, he's going to be a really important factor for them, I think.
All right. Well, that's the Giants on the other side of the Bay, and could this be a Bay Bridge World Series possibly?
Possibly, but it was a tough break for the A's to lose Jarrett Parker and possibly, A.J. Griffin. But their lineup is strong. I mean, Josh Donaldson is the real deal. Josh Reddick, we saw an indication last night. If he's healthy, he's the real deal. And Cespedes, you know, he's a powder keg waiting to go off. I mean, they've got a great outfield. Even with their losses, they have a pretty good starting staff, and their bullpen might be one of the best in baseball once they get O'Flaherty in there. I know National League people have seen O'Flaherty pitch for the Braves. I mean, he's got lights-out stuff. And Jim Johnson, you know, he takes over for Grant Balfour. They haven't really missed a beat, and their bullpen is really deep. So, and Bob Melvin, I think, is one of the best managers in the game. So, yeah, you can see a Bay Bridge series here.
Boy, wouldn't that be something? Carl Stewart with us as we wrap it up. Bay Bridge World Series 1989, different world. We did have ESPN and things like that. We had an earthquake, too. But with the social media today and the dichotomy between the A's and the Giants, a billion-dollar ball club against the $400 million ball club, which is nothing to sneeze at, believe me. But can you imagine a Bay Bridge World Series today with what's going on in today's world? I think it would be off the charts.
I'll tell you, I covered the one in 89, and it's from a pure baseball standpoint, it was one of the worst World Series I ever watched. I still have the tapes of it, and every once in a while I'll go back and watch. The games were just horrendous. They were boring. They were, you know, the A's dominated. The last game had some offense, but, at the start of game three here at Candlestick, I was sitting in the third deck when the thing started rumbling, and I thought it was one of those big C-30 planes that were flying overhead, but I looked up for the plane, there was no plane, and then I realized there was an earthquake, and there was no communication to get out. I mean, today, I mean, you could just pick up your cell phone and call somebody, but there was none of that then, and we didn't know if the entire city of San Francisco had collapsed because you couldn't see outside.
Wow. What a story. Nice to have you on the show. I've been looking forward to it, and I think fans, you really got to a view of the inside of Carl Stewart, his baseball love. Now when you read him online or in the newspaper, you know who he is. So, Carl, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thanks, Marty. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what a pleasure. More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.